WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 o'clock. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. One expert says last night's Republican presidential debate in Milwaukee did little to change the dynamics of the race. Terry Bell reports.
Republican strategist Rick Wilson tells Civic Media that Donald Trump still dominates the crowded primary field after the Milwaukee forum.
Look, the guy is in, he's in the commanding position right now in this race. None of the dynamics of this race so far have changed in any meaningful way.
Political experts in Milwaukee yesterday agreed the primary race will likely be decided before Wisconsin votes in April. But Wisconsin is one of a handful of states expected to decide the general election in November. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Wisconsin's elections administrator says she won't testify to state lawmakers next week about keeping her job. Nate Wegehout has more.
Megan Wolf is citing a memo sent to Senate Republicans by State Attorney General Josh Call that says it would be illegal for them to vote on whether or not she should stay in the position. Earlier this year, the Wisconsin Elections Commission abstained from voting on whether or not Wolf should remain in the job. Call argues that Wolf is legally allowed to stay in the position until the commission makes that vote. Wolf's term ended in June. Republicans have been critical of Wolf's performance since the 2020 presidential election. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Democratic lawmakers want to curb lawsuits that try to bankrupt Wisconsin newsrooms. Public officials are filing more frivolous lawsuits in order to silence their critics. State Senate Democratic leader Melissa Agard.
Politicians and public officials have begun turning to the legal system as a way to express their displeasure with media outlets.
The Wausau Pilot and Review is fighting a defamation lawsuit filed by Republican State Senator Corey Tomczyk. The news site has racked up $150,000 in legal bills. Relief for some Wisconsin student loan borrowers is on the way. Melissa Kay has the details.
The federal pause on student loan payments will end on October 1st. The pause began at the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. The Biden administration is making changes to repayment plans for low-income borrowers when payments resume. More than 12,000 Wisconsinites will see student loan forgiveness with the changes. Borrowers that are eligible for the forgiveness must have federal direct loans and be making less than $15 an hour. The state of Wisconsin does consider federal loan forgiveness to be taxable income. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
It's back to school season in Wisconsin. Health officials across the state are encouraging parents to vaccinate their children for respiratory illnesses as students return to the classroom. Updated boosters to protect from COVID-19 will be available on October 1st, according to Dr. Ryan Westgard. He's a chief medical officer with the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, and this is Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A proposed bill in Wisconsin could cause headaches for prosecutors, requiring that a judge or court commissioner sign off for prosecutors to dismiss or amend charges in certain cases. The restrictions would apply to domestic abuse, automobile theft, crimes of abuse against individuals at risk, sexual assault, crimes against a child, illegal possession of a firearm, and reckless driving that results in bodily harm. The bill is intended to ensure alleged criminals are held accountable by district attorneys for serious crimes. A farm in Wisconsin has earned itself a Guinness World Records title after debuting the world's longest meat snack stick. On August 19th, Wenzel's Farm in central Wisconsin shared the meat snack stick, which measured in at 314 feet, making it the longest meat snack stick in the world. Even better, after the world record was confirmed, everybody who attended the event got to take a piece of the football field's worth of meat snack stick home. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers in a thriller over the Twins. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Twins went into extra innings. Minnesota scored a run in the top of the 10th. Milwaukee came back, tied the score. Two outs, Willy Adames on third, and Bryce Terang at the plate. Jeff Levering had the call on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
On the ground, left side, tough play.
It's a rookie. 8-7 in 10 innings.
That was the final score from AmFam Field, where at one point, the temperature inside the ballpark was 100 degrees. Brewers manager Craig Counsell.
You know, every pitcher that came in for both teams was struggling with sweat and the grip. The umpire was so soaking wet that they had to go to the balls to different umpires. So it was an extremely hot day, and it's nice. I thought both teams played hard and got to be one of our longest games of the year figures. But it's nice to come out of the win.
The Brewers host the Padres this weekend before heading to Chicago next week to face the Cubs. NFL, the Packers worked out for 2 hours yesterday in the final practice of training camp. Quarterback Jordan Love with high fives and signing autographs for fans who braved the heat on the last day open to the public. Now the Packers host the Seahawks at noon this Saturday. I asked Jordan Love after practice.
So what's the most important reason you guys and the first team in a couple of series Saturday against the Seahawks?
I think just continue, keep building what we're doing out there, get some more game reps in, and go out there and execute on the field.
Luke Musgrave is the Packers' talented tight end, 6'6", great speed, and he talked about making a rookie mistake in practice and being corrected by Jordan Love.
I didn't motion, which is kind of an integral part of the play. I think that's the beauty of having such a good quarterback like Jordan is, especially as a young guy, he's a guy that's going to correct you and get you right, and then he's going to come back and move on like the mature quarterback he is.
That's Packers rookie tight end Luke Musgrave. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome in to the Stu Daniels Show on a Thursday morning. It is the 24th day of August, and I hope you're having a good day so far. I'm your host, Stu Daniels, and outside today, it's going to be another scorcher across most of western Wisconsin. La Crosse today, sunshine and hot with a high around 95 degrees. In Eau Claire today, mostly sunny, high around 88 degrees. Richland Center, sunny and hot with a high around 97. In Amory today, mostly sunny, high around 84. And way up in Hayward, partly sunny with a high around 79 degrees. Man, that sounds like the place to be today. And in sports, the Brewers beat the Twins yesterday in 10 innings, 8-7 final score. The Cubs also won yesterday, so Milwaukee remains 3.5 games ahead of Chicago. The Brewers are off today, and then they welcome the Padres to Milwaukee for the weekend. What's going on in the news? Let me tell you that the former president, by the way, today is an historic day, and it sounds like we're going to be able to watch the big event on television tonight. Former President Donald Trump expected to turn himself in tonight at a jail in Atlanta, Georgia, and it is expected to be televised. This will be the first arraignment that we will be able to watch as it happens. Also in the news, Rudy Giuliani turned himself in at a jail in Atlanta yesterday, facing charges of trying to overturn the 2020 presidential election results. There is a new bipartisan bill that would ban open drinking on ATVs in Wisconsin if passed. The Subway sandwich chain has been sold to the company that owns Dunkin' Donuts. Do you ever eat at Subway anymore? Yeah, it seems like their sales have fallen off quite a bit. One of the reasons they were up for sale. And also an interesting story, China has banned seafood from Japan after the tsunami-wrecked Fukushima nuclear power plant began releasing radioactive water into the Pacific Ocean. So they're actually releasing that water. From what I understand, it's been treated before they put it out into the ocean. But won't that affect everybody around the world? We'll check out that story as this show goes on. But the first story that I do want to get to is what's going to happen tonight in Atlanta. I have a story here from The Hill that says Trump's Georgia arraignment is expected to be televised, according to the according to a Fulton County judge. This piece from The Hill was written by Zach Schoenfeld and posted day before yesterday. It says the state judge overseeing former President Trump's Georgia case ruled that cameras will be allowed in the courtroom for the defendant's arraignments, marking the first time that one of Trump's criminal proceedings will be televised. Fulton County Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee on Tuesday granted a request from four local television stations to bring in live cameras and other recording devices in his courtroom through the 8th of September. Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis is seeking to hold the arraignments for all the defendants the week following Labor Day, which would fall within that window. If the timeline is delayed, however, McAfee's order would expire. McAfee's order does not indicate whether cameras will be allowed during a trial or any other future proceedings in the case. Willis charged Trump last week alongside 18 co-defendants over their alleged efforts to overturn the 2020 election results. Trump, of course, has denied any wrongdoing. Willis has given a Friday deadline, Friday of this week, like tomorrow, for the defendants to surrender, although that process is being conducted at the Fulton County Jail separate from any arraignments. And it says Trump has said he will surrender on Thursday, and I guess he's telling people that he's going to go in tonight so that it can be televised on primetime TV, and that's fine with me. Courts have barred cameras for all of the proceedings in Trump's other three criminal cases so far. Federal courts generally do not allow video or audio recordings of proceedings, as is true in Trump's cases. When Trump was arraigned in New York state court on charges related to a hush money payment, the judge had denied a group of media outlets' request to have video cameras in the room. The judge did, however, allow a group of still photographers inside the courtroom for a few moments before the arraignment began, at which Trump pleaded not guilty. But in Fulton County, cameras inside courtrooms are common, which would perhaps allow unprecedented public access to one of the most high-profile trials in U.S. history. So it sounds like we'll be able to watch it tonight, and there's no Brewers game tonight, so you have no excuse. I think I will be checking it out. It's something that we've never seen before. And as someone who is interested in history, a history buff, man, how could you not want to watch it? First time in history that we'll see a president, at least a former president, in the courtroom being arraigned, being arrested. Evidently, there will be a booking with a mugshot that we will be able to see. What do you think Donald Trump's mugshot is going to look like? Man, maybe they'll let him adjust his hair before the shot is taken. Hey, the other story that I want to get to before our first break is about Trump's buddy, Rudy Giuliani. He turned himself in yesterday. I have a story here from the Associated Press. It says Giuliani turns himself in on Georgia 2020 election charges after bond is set at $150,000. Evidently, they are saying now that Rudy Giuliani is broke. He's penniless. He doesn't have any way to pay an attorney. And as of last night, last I heard was that he couldn't even find an attorney to represent him in Atlanta. I don't know if that's changed overnight or this morning. But let me give you this story. This was posted this morning from Atlanta. It says Rudy Giuliani, Donald Trump's lawyer and confidant, turned himself in at a jail in Atlanta on Wednesday on charges related to efforts to overturn then-President Trump's loss in the 2020 presidential election in Georgia. The former New York mayor, once known as America's mayor, was indicted last week along with Trump and 17 others. Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis said they participated in a wide-ranging conspiracy to subvert the will of the voters after the Republican president lost to Democrat Joe Biden in November of 2020. Bond for Giuliani, who was released after booking, like the other defendants, was set at $150,000, second only to Trump's $200,000. Giuliani, 79 years old, is accused of spearheading Trump's efforts to compel state lawmakers in Georgia and other closely contested states to ignore the will of the voters and illegally appoint Electoral College electors favorable to Trump. Other high-profile defendants also surrendered on Wednesday, including Jenna Ellis, an attorney who prosecutors say was involved in efforts to convince state lawmakers to unlawfully appoint presidential electors, and lawyer Sidney Powell, accused of making false statements about the election in Georgia and helping to organize a breach of voting equipment in rural Coffee County. Georgia was one of several key states Trump lost by slim margins, prompting the Republican and his allies to proclaim without evidence that the election was rigged in favor of his Democratic rival, Joe Biden. Giuliani is charged with making false statements and soliciting false testimony, conspiring to create phony paperwork, and asking state lawmakers to violate their oath of office to appoint an alternate slate of pro-Trump electors. Outside the Fulton County Jail Wednesday afternoon, Giuliani laughed when asked if he regretted allying himself with Trump. Quote, "I am very, very honored to be involved in this case because this case is a fight for our way of life," Giuliani told reporters. "This indictment is a travesty. It's an attack on not just me, not just President Trump, not just the people in this indictment, some of whom I don't even know. This is an attack on the American people," end quote. I don't know. What can you say when he's talking like that? This is an attack on the American people. Actually, I think it's an opportunity for the American people to get some justice. It was our votes that he tried to overturn. It's 17 minutes after 8 o'clock right now. Going to take a quick break. Stick around. It's a short one. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
The Central Wisconsin State Fair is underway in Marshfield. And from nationally touring rock and country entertainers to the Midway and exhibits, it's great fun for everyone. It's also where you can check out the world's largest round barn. Built in 1915 as a show and sale arena, this beautiful building is still being used the same way today. And be sure to look for the Civic Media Truth Booth, your chance to tell us your thoughts about the fair, the area, and issues concerning to you. The Central Wisconsin State Fair runs through Sunday in Marshfield.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Did you know every 10 years, based on the latest census population information, state officials redraw voting district boundaries? Sounds fair until redistricting becomes gerrymandering. It's described as manipulating the boundaries to favor one party or class. Those at the nonpartisan Brennan Center call gerrymandering as old as the United States, but also say regardless of the party responsible, it isn't fair to the voters. Still, Congress voted not to pass reform legislation last year. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
It's going to be another hot one today, mostly sunny. We'll get to 87 for a high this afternoon, but that heat index back into the mid to upper 90s today. And there is a heat advisory that remains in effect here through this afternoon. Tonight, 66. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. Still muggy, but cooler. 85 for a high by Saturday, partly cloudy. Cooler and comfortable with a high of 75. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 23 minutes after 8 o'clock. Hey, Aaron, can you hear me right now?
Yes.
Yes. Hey, that song you're playing sounds like Shaft by Isaac Hayes. It sounds like a different version. Is that some kind of extended version or something? Or what are you playing? Let me ask you that. That's my first question.
Theme from Shaft, remastered Isaac Hayes.
Okay. Maybe the fact that it's remastered is what makes a difference. But let me ask you this other question, too. Do you ever eat at Subway? Subway sandwich shop?
Not really. I used to when I was little. My family went there, but I've found that I like a lot of other sub places better at this point.
Yeah? Like, which ones, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, I like Jimmy John's is good because, as the slogan says, they really are freaky fast. Jersey Mike's is probably my favorite, though.
Is that right? I haven't tried Jersey Mike's yet. What do you like about them?
I think you get a good amount of sandwich for the money, and they slice the meat and everything in front of you, and I really like their dressing that they have. They call it the juice that they put on. It's just like whatever oil, vinaigrette, same thing, similar thing that you get other places. It's just I like whatever they have in theirs. They also have very good roast beef.
I got to try roast beef at Jersey Mike's. Got to check it out. But you mentioned Jimmy John's. You know, Jimmy John's, Jimmy John's is owned by a company called Rourke. That's spelled R-O-A-R-K. And that company has just purchased Subway. So now they own both Jimmy John's and Subway. And you said the thing you like about Jimmy John's is the fact that it's fast. Do you think their food is good, or do you just order from there because it's fast?
I also do think it's good. There are a few of their sandwiches that I like, and I like their bread a lot. That's one of the things I like the most about them.
Yeah, well, that's good, because a big portion of that sandwich from Jimmy John's is bread, so that's good that the bread is good. Hey, let me give you a little bit about this story. I don't know if you're aware of it, but the Subway sandwich chain has been privately owned for over 50 years, actually almost 60 years, which is unusual. Most companies, most fast food companies are publicly held. And in fact, I can't think of another one that's privately owned, but they finally sold out. They sold out to the company that owns Jimmy John's and Dunkin' Donuts. It's obviously a big conglomerate. I have a headline here from CNBC. It says, Subway sandwich chain sells itself to Dunkin' owner Rourke Capital. Key points, sandwich chain Subway is being sold, ending more than five decades of private family ownership. Price of the deal was not immediately disclosed. And under CEO John Chidsey, who joined the company in 2019, Subway has been trying to turn around its business. I'll give you a little bit of the story before we have to head to a break. It says Rourke Capital is buying Subway, ending the sandwich chain's more than five decades of family ownership and marking a new era for the struggling company. The announcement Thursday ends the chain's lengthy sale process, which publicly kicked off in February. Subway reportedly saw $10 billion, a high price that alienated many potential suitors, like restaurant conglomerates, leaving only private equity firms to duke it out in the auction. So they're saying that it probably sold for about $9.6 million. Other companies owned by Rourke, Baskin-Robbins, Sonic, Arby's, Buffalo Wild Wings, Jimmy John's, they have a separate company called Focus Brands, and they own Auntie Anne's, Carvel, Cinnabon, Jamba Juice, McAllister's, Moe's, Southwest Grill, and also Schlotzky's. So, interesting. Is it going to change? Will the Subway change? Subway sandwich shop? I don't know. I remember when they first started showing up back in the 1980s, man, they were popular, even through the 90s. But for some reason, their sales have kind of slacked off in recent years, and it does sound good right now, though. Hey, we got to take a break. 8:28. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Who's the cat that won't cop out when there's danger all about? Shut. Right on. You see, this cat, Chef, is a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
What I'm talking about, Chef?
And we can do it.
He's a complicated man, but no one understands him but his woman.
John Shack.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. Eight Republican presidential contenders vied for the spotlight on Fox last night, among them Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley.
I'm going to stand on the side of life.
Can't we all agree that we are not going to put a woman in jail or give her the death penalty if she gets an abortion?
The elephant in the room, according to one moderator, former President Trump, who is expected to surrender in Atlanta today on charges of trying to overturn 2020 election results. CBS's Nicole Killian.
Former President Trump will be treated just like any other defendant who comes to this jail, complete with fingerprinting and a potential mugshot.
Police near L.A. say at least three people were killed in a mass shooting at a landmark biker bar filled with families in Trabuco Canyon.
Deputies then confronted a male subject that was armed with a gun. At that point, a deputy-involved shooting occurred.
A gunman died. Sources tell CBS LA he'd had an argument with his estranged wife. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation is opening a new center in support of technological assistance within tribal nations, thanks to a two-year, $625,000 grant. University of Wisconsin-Madison received a grant from the U.S. Department of Transportation in support of the Tribal Technical Assistance Program Center, which will open in Wisconsin. The Department of Transportation will work through the new center to support transportation investments, technological assistance, and technology service across the 11 federally recognized tribal nations in Wisconsin. A proposed bill in Wisconsin could make it a felony for school employees to sexually harass a student. The bill would cover a loophole in the state law which makes it technically legal for a school employee to make inappropriate comments towards a student, so long as no physical contact is made. The bill would also make reporting a school employee for inappropriate comments mandatory, and any employees convicted under the crime would permanently lose their license to work at schools. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time, apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You way
I'll be on top. You be right down there, looking up. And I might wave, come up here, but I don't see you waving now. I'm way down here, wondering how I'm gonna get to you, but I know now. I'll just cry, cry, I'll just cry. Too many teardrops for one heart to be crying. Too many teardrops for one heart to carry on. You're gonna cry 96 tears.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That'll get you going. Thursday morning, 96 tears. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. On a Thursday morning, we got some warm temperatures already. La Crosse up to 83 degrees already. Also 83 degrees right now in Richland Center. La Crosse looking for a high today around 95 degrees. Richland Center around 97 degrees. And again, a reminder, if you're going outside, please stay hydrated. Limit your time outside. And man, just be careful out there today. They say tomorrow should be better, not as hot, so something to look forward to. The next thing I want to get to, I guess we should go ahead and discuss the debate last night, the big Republican presidential debate in Milwaukee. Aaron, what did you think of the debate? Did you get to see it? Did you get to hear it? Tell me your thoughts.
Yeah, I missed the very beginning because I was finishing up working on some coverage that Civic Media did for a couple hours before the event. But the rest of it, my roommates and I tuned in, and about 5 minutes in, we said, well, good thing we didn't make a drinking game out of this or we'd be dead. They really hammered home their talking points and didn't say a whole lot else.
Yeah, you're exactly right. They hit the talking points. They hammered those home. And that's about all it was. You know, there were a lot of those quips, those one-liner gotchas. But I didn't see anything I thought was of real importance. I think the people that we should take seriously acted serious. And I think that the ones who we don't have to take so seriously didn't act very serious.
Yeah, and definitely not changing anyone's minds.
Yeah, a lot of people were talking about the Vivek guy last night, the Ramaswamy. He got in there with a whole bunch of good jabs. He had a lot of energy, and he says it's because of his youthful exuberance. I don't know, man. Could you stand that guy for more than a couple hours?
Absolutely not. It was difficult to get through that.
Yeah, even that couple hours was difficult. But there was one interesting thing that happened last night. As I mentioned, there were a few serious candidates on that stage in Milwaukee last night. And one of them was Nikki Haley. Some of her policies aren't exactly my policies, that's for sure. But she did say some interesting things. And President Joe Biden agreed with her, at least on one thing. This is from the HuffPost, HuffPost.com. Says Joe Biden drops three sharp words on GOP in a swift flip of Nikki Haley's debate jab. And this was posted just after midnight last night after the event was over by Ben Blanchett, or Blanchet, if he pronounces it that way, at HuffPost. And I don't know if you saw this, but it says President Joe Biden welcomed former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley's words with open arms after she went after fellow Republicans' voting records at the first GOP presidential debate on Wednesday. Haley, one of the eight candidates to participate in the debate in Milwaukee, jumped on some of her GOP rivals, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, Senator Tim Scott, and former Vice President Mike Pence, for voting to raise the debt while also taking a shot at former President Donald Trump, who named her U.S. ambassador to the United Nations during his term in office. Trump, of course, had skipped the debate. And here's the quote from Haley. She said, and Donald Trump added $8 trillion to our debt, and our kids are never going to forgive us for this, declared Haley. I want to repeat that. Nikki Haley last night in the debate said Donald Trump added $8 trillion to our debt. And the reason why I wanted to repeat that is because people often say, at least Trump supporters often say, or you'll hear them say, that the economy under Donald Trump was the best it's ever been. But as Nikki Haley pointed out, Donald Trump added $8 trillion to our debt, and our kids are never going to forgive us for this, declared Haley in an apparent nod to the national debt increasing by about $7.8 trillion during the Trump administration. So what does Joe Biden do? He tweets out that clip of Nikki Haley saying that. I guess they're not tweets anymore, right? This was sent out through X, which is formerly Twitter, but he sent out an X message, whatever those are called, with the clip of Nikki Haley making that statement about Trump adding $8 billion to the debt. And he didn't put anything with the clip other than three words. He says, what she said. That's all he put in the clip. In the text message. That's not a text message. It's an X message. So in the X message, he puts the clip of her saying that Donald Trump added trillion. Donald Trump added $8 trillion to our debt. Joe Biden says, yeah, what she said. Biden also made other not so subtle references to the debate on Wednesday, taking aim at biotech entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy, who said the climate change agenda is a hoax, which was met by a sea of boos from the audience. And Biden wrote on X, formerly Twitter, climate change is real, by the way. Haley, amid the candidates' discussion of climate change, declared that climate change is real as well. So Nikki Haley, no matter what you say about her, did come through with a couple of truthful talking points and saying that climate change is real and Donald Trump added $8 trillion to the debt. She said, Nikki Haley stated, on the debate stage last night, we do care about clean air, clean water. We want to see that taken care of, but there is a right way to do it. The right way is, first of all, yes, is climate change real? Yes, it is. But if you want to go and really change the environment, we need to start telling China and India that they have to lower their emissions. So she says that we need to have them take care of their emissions. But of course, we have to take care of our emissions too. It's 8:42 right now, almost 8:43. And by the way, if you have any comment on anything that we are discussing today, if you have an opinion, feel free to call in. I'd like to hear what you have to say. The phone number to call is 715-388-7155. Again, that's 715-388-7155. And you can also send me an email message if you want to. My email address is stewmanradio@gmail.com. Stu is spelled S-T-U. And the next topic that I want to get to is something that concerns Wisconsinites who ride or use ATVs and UTVs. Hey, Aaron, have you ever been on an ATV or a UTV?
Yes. I don't like have one or anything, but I've ridden it with, in Boy Scouts, there was a camp that some of the older scouts could get training to ride ATVs, some off-roading, and that was fun. But also, my dad's side of the family has a cabin up north, and there's a little like utility vehicle that they have up there for bringing wood around to light the furnace and things like that.
Yeah, those UTVs, utility task vehicles, like you mentioned, are pretty handy. If you're having to bring firewood in or move things around on a big piece of acreage, And the ATVs are just fun to drive. For those of you that aren't familiar with these vehicles, the ATVs are the smaller all-terrain vehicles, usually ridden by just one or maybe two people. And then the UTVs are the ones that are a little bigger, that have four wheels and space for at least two people. And those are the what they call the utility task vehicles, UTVs and ATVs. Well, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because there will be a change coming if this bill, a new bipartisan bill, passes that's in the, or that was just introduced in the Wisconsin legislature. It says here in the Wisconsin State Journal at Madison.com, open drinking on ATVs would be banned in Wisconsin under a new bipartisan bill. And this piece was just posted yesterday afternoon by Alexander Schur at Madison.com. It says open containers of alcohol on all-terrain vehicles would be banned on highways, trails, and any other ATV passage open to the public under a bipartisan bill that came before a Senate committee on Tuesday. The bill, known as SB 262, comes as advocates and some Wisconsin lawmakers seek to confront the high levels of drinking and alcohol-related crashes in Wisconsin. Under current law, all-terrain and utility terrain vehicles, the all-terrain and utility terrain vehicle drivers are prohibited from driving if they have a blood alcohol concentration of 0.08% or greater. But unlike in cars, open drinking is not explicitly prohibited on or in ATVs and UTVs. This is obviously something that's going to continue to be an issue if we do not address this inconsistency in our state statutes. That's what Senator André Jacques of DePeer, Republican, said. He is the lead author of the bill, along with Representative Jeff Mersow, Republican from Cribbets. In 2022, there were 129 ATV crashes resulting in 13 deaths and 124 injuries, according to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. In that same year, there were 103 UTV crashes resulting in 131 injuries and 8 deaths. It says here that alcohol was involved in 5 of the 8 UTV crash deaths and at least 4 of the ATV deaths, according to the DNR. So it looks like things might be changing, and you may not be able to drink a beer anymore while you're driving down a public access trail. Going to take a break. It's a quick one. 8:47 right now. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council. For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
It's going to be another hot one today, mostly sunny. We'll get to 87 for a high this afternoon, but that heat index back into the mid to upper 90s today. And there is a heat advisory that remains in effect here through this afternoon. Tonight, 66. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. Still muggy, but cooler. 85 for a high by Saturday, partly cloudy. Cooler and comfortable with a high of 75. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
And the Magnificent. I'm back with the shaker of a soul, boss, most thundering, storming, sound of soul. I am W-O-O-O, and I'm still here.
David and Ansel Collins. Yeah, yes. Double barrel. 852. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. That is a song that kind of turned me on to reggae music. If you're too young to remember, that was a big hit on the radio back in the day on the AM Top 40 radio. Oh, about 50 years ago, at least. It might have been around 1970 or 71. You have any more information on that, Aaron, about when it came out? Or if not, that's okay. Just wondering if you know anything about it.
No, I will take a look.
Yeah, that's not that important. I just remember I was a kid, and it was probably around 1970.
I was 71
was the year. So here's a quick story about that song. I was at an amusement park that day. I grew up in Ohio, so I was in an amusement park in Ohio called Myers Lake, and I was hanging out with my family, but I was so into music at the time that I had a little transistor radio with me, and I was listening to the local AM Top 40 station while I was at the amusement park, and it was a weekend, so they were doing this thing they called Name It and Claim It. So if you knew the name of the song, you could call up the radio station, and if you named it correctly, then you'd win the record. That's what you would win, a little 45 record. And you'd have to go to the radio station and pick it up. Well, I was at the amusement park, and I heard that song come on the radio, and I thought, well, this will be easy. Somebody will get that song right away. So I hung out, and I was doing stuff with my family. And then at the end of the song, the disc jockey comes on and says, hey, nobody claimed that song yet. Nobody knew what it was. Nobody called in and got it right. And I thought, I could do that. I'll just call him right now. So I asked my mom for a dime, found the nearest phone booth, and I put the dime in and I called him up and I said, hey, I know that song. That's Double Barrel by David and Ansel Collins. And they said, yeah, you're right. You're the winner. Congratulations. So they recorded it and I played it back for my family. They got to hear me win that record. And then I had to get a ride down to the radio station to pick up the 45 single. Just a little story from Stu Mann's past back in the day. But that song kind of helped turn me on to reggae music. I thought, man, that song has a unique rhythm to it. And I do believe that those guys, David and Ansel Collins, went on to join other reggae bands in the 70s once reggae music became really popular. But enough of Stu Mann's long-gone history. Let's get back to the stories of the day. Got a couple of stories I want to get to before the top of the hour. Well, at least one, because we're running out of time because I told that crazy old story. But the one thing I want to give you an update on is the fire in Maui. All right. I've been trying to keep this in the news, trying to remind you that if you haven't given already, now is a good time to do it. You can go to the website of the American Red Cross and contribute money for the wildfires that devastated the town of Lahaina on the island of Maui in Hawaii. And that's really easy to do. I did it a few days ago. And then you can also, if you want to, contribute to organizations like the Maui Humane Society, if you want to help the animals. Another good organization is the Maui Food Bank. You can contribute to them. And there's an organization called Maui Strong that you can contribute money to. Also, an easy way to do it is send a text message. And by the way, I should mention that if you go to the American Red Cross website, there will be a drop-down box that you can specifically direct your money toward the Hawaii fires. Also, you can send a text message to the American Red Cross, and that will make a $10 contribution that will be added to your mobile cell phone bill. And all you have to do is send the word Hawaii to 90999, and you will make a $10 contribution. Again, that number is 90999. I got a little bit of information on an update here. This is from the Los Angeles Times. Before we go to the top of the hour break, a fateful decision in Maui. Firefighters left the scene, and then the blaze began its deadly march unchallenged. So it sounds like the firefighters left a little too early. At least that's the latest information coming. It says in the first hours of what would become the Maui firestorm, firefighters had a fateful choice. After responding to an initial small fire on the edge of town shortly after sunrise, officials determined that it had been fully contained and the danger to the historic town of Lahaina had passed. With other fires burning elsewhere on the island, emergency personnel made the decision to move on. But within an hour or two of the last firefighters leaving the scene, the blaze began to flare up, according to witnesses. With no defense and fueled by forecasted intense winds from the northeast, the fire became a monster, targeting a town that had stood for centuries. In a short span of time, it burned all the way to the ocean, ultimately reducing much of Lahaina to ash and leaving entire families, including the elderly and children, trapped in cars or homes. Officials warned that the bones of some of the dead are so charred that their remains may never be recovered. Keep the people of Maui in your prayers and send a contribution if you can. Now we got to take a top of the hour break for the news. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin
or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.